So good to be here again today. I always look forward to this when I can share with you, dear folks. You've become very special to my heart. And we're glad that we're able to get more people out. Hasn't that been a blessing? Just to be able to get together again. So in the book of Job, I want to read today, beginning with verse 13. Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Job was an amazing man. He was the wealthiest man probably in the world at that time, one of the wealthiest at least, and he was a man who had everything going his way. He'd had the blessing of God on him just so amazingly that he just was untouchable. And Satan came along and God says, "Where have you been?" He said, "Oh, I've been out roaming too on the face of the earth." What was he doing that for? Trying to find somebody to steal or rob, destroy? And the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job? Ah, well, you've put such a wall around him that I can't touch him. You know, if you take that wall away, he'd curse you." The Lord said, "All right, just don't touch his life. I'll take the wall away." And in the 13th verse, it says, "Now there was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they were killed and the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have been saved to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands and raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another came and said, 'Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people. They are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Talk about trouble. Everything happening one right after the other. Not time to stop and catch your breath before the next tragedy is hit. And then, of course, the final one, which is the greatest blow that could hit any family. Your sons and your daughters were just killed. And what's the reaction of a man that God looks on and says, "Have you considered my servant Job? Perfect man, upright." And Job said, Job arose, tore his robe. You see, he's very broken, shaved his head. He's heartbroken. He's destitute. He fell to the ground and worshiped. He fell to the ground and worshiped, and he said, "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Whew. Can you even imagine something like that happening in your day? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we need so much to hear from you. We need, Lord God, in this day, to know that you are here. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. We're living at a time when everyone is losing something. It is just happening everywhere. Finances are disappearing. Retirements are disappearing. Families are dying. People that we know and love are dying in nursing homes, and we can't even go and see them. Tragedy is just happening everywhere. We're going through a time of great loss, a time when people are not sure if they're going to be able to survive it. We've been separated from our churches, separated from our families. I think just recently, since this began, family from our church, the father got sick and died. Family couldn't be with him. Now the mother is dying. Family can visit her in hospice. And I think, how do you handle the pain of the loss? The Apostle Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I thought, well, that really has nothing to do with today, does it? Because that's when you get saved and old things pass away and behold, everything becomes new. But I want you to know something. We're living in a day when old things that have been good things are passing away. And things that we have loved are passing away. And things are becoming new. The other day, those of you who follow my devotionals know that I was painting. I started a painting that had it was going to be a lighthouse on a sunset. And I was deciding to do that. And I got the sky in and I got the water in and I just didn't like it. If you watched the one broadcast that I did 2 days before that, I had the picture all there and I just took the paintbrush and wiped it all out to start it over again. And this may actually be the same board. I think it is. And I was frustrated. I was going to do the lighthouse because I've always done mountains and waterfalls and lakes. And I've always taken my brush and I could make a mountain. I have so many paintings that are mountains, and they were easy to do, and they were fun to do, and so I would paint the mountains, but about 2-3 weeks ago, I couldn't paint mountains. Try as I would, they just would not turn out, and I'd paint them what I thought was the same way, and they just looked ugly, and so I had this lighthouse that I was doing, and I looked at it, and I thought, I don't like it, so I wiped out the whole bottom part, but I kept the sky, and I'm just going to wipe it all out. And I thought of the palette knife. I have never been able to use this thing. And yet, I see many people paint mountains with the palette knife. And I thought, I'm going to throw the thing away anyway, so I'm going to try to paint with a palette knife. So I began working the palette knife, and lo and behold, a mountain appeared. And I said, wow, that is just what I was trying to do. And then I realized that the Lord was speaking something to my heart. He was saying something to me. He was saying, if I take something away from you, I will give you something better. And I suspect that if I try to paint a mountain with the brush again, it'll work. Because I think the Lord took that away so that I would be forced to try the palette knife. And I have to say, it was fun to paint with the palette knife. And I understand now why some of these guys on TV who use it, why they like it. I had not liked it at all. But I was able to get the picture that I wanted with the palette knife. You see, God never robs us. Do you understand that? God never steals from us. If God takes something away from us, it is because he has something better for us. If the devil takes something away from us, God will restore to us abundantly more than we had before. That's just God's way. Now, it may not all happen in this life. How many of you know this life is just a brief moment? We're here today and we're gone. A 96-year-old lady had a friend of hers who was 93. And the 93-year-old passed away. And they came and told Grandma, the 96-year-old, that the other grandma had just died. And this 96-year-old says, oh, life is so short. Can I tell you, life is short. You look back when you're this age, you know, life looks like it's forever. It's going to last. I'll never get to be 16. I'll never get to be 21. And then all of a sudden you're 21 and you turn around and you're 80. And you thought, how did that happen? It took so long to get to be 21 and now I just turned around and I'm 80. How did that happen? You see, life is short. And I think that God is beginning to teach us something now to hold loosely to the things we have. Because things are changing every day. And we are going to have to let loose of some things. We are going to lose things. I have lost some things just with the passing of time. A matter of 10 years ago, I could run and jump on a horse. And I enjoyed it. I could get on a horse and I could ride all across Mahaffey area. And just think, this is life. It's wonderful. Now, well, it sort of happened gradually, but yet almost overnight. I used to like the big, tall horses because I could run and jump on them. Then it got to the point I liked medium-sized horses. And then it got to the place, give me a little horse because I can crawl up onto it. And I think, where did that go? I used to be able to walk from my house to the church, from the church to my house. I could do it in minutes. Now, I just get in the car and drive because I've lost so much in the use of my legs. We're losing, losing, losing. Now, this is not a negative message. I know it sounds it, but it's not. It's this, that God is saying, I want you to begin to let loose of the things that you're holding too tightly to. We hold too tightly to things that are going to pass away. This world is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. My treasures are laid up where? In heaven. The song said somewhere beyond the blue. And when we come to the place that we understand and we hold loosely to things, we won't be so devastated when they're taken. And when we have to let go of them. Because God is still working in our lives. There are some things that we're losing right now. We talked about it. We're losing that fellowship where we can just get together and go to a gathering and a picnic and forget the masks and just enjoy each other's company. I walked into a party yesterday in our church downstairs, and I put a mask on before I went down, and I stepped in, and the whole place was packed full of people. Big party. I left my mask on. Nobody else had one on, and I thought, I think I'll just keep mine on. And I walked over and greeted the person who was having the graduation party and left. And I thought, wow, that was so great to be able to do that, but we used to do it without thinking. Now we have to think. Now we have to say, am I really wise in doing this? And we have to be willing to say, Lord, there's some things I'm just willing to let go of because I want to serve you. So the Lord says, there's some things you got to let go of, some things we've lost, and some things that we have found. One of the most blessed things that we've found is that little camera right up there. You know, we have a group here right now. I don't know how many there are. I'm not counting. But I can tell you right now that it'll be tripled, quadrupled, the people who will be hearing this particular service. There will be literally hundreds of people who will hear the service. And we look at it and we think, wow, we're reaching more people today with the gospel than we have ever reached. The devil says, I'm going to keep these church people out of church. I'm going to stop them from gathering together. And the Lord said, go ahead. Go ahead. And so the law came down. Churches cannot meet. Now, if you've got a liquor store, that's all right. You can go to the liquor store, but you can't go to church. The devil thought he had us whipped. Let me tell you something. The little devotional that I did here with this one has reached over almost 500 people in 2 days. I look at that and I think, Lord, you know, you must be laughing at the devil because he thinks he's going to rob us, but there are things that we find that we never had before. Our church services are reaching hundreds of people where we were, and the amazing thing is they're people who don't go to church regularly. I've heard from people that never been inside our church. and now are responding, Pastor, I appreciated your message. And Pastor Andy, I appreciate your message. And I thought, they've never been in our church. Probably never been in church. And they're hearing, I'm hearing from family members that I haven't heard from since my daddy died 22 years ago, who are saying, I'm listening to your broadcast. I'm listening to your message. And I'm putting a little harder or a little thumbs up on it. And I think, Lord, I haven't been able to reach these people. And now you're reaching them. And so there are things that we've lost, yes, but there are things that we've found. There are things that have happened that are drawing us closer to each other. One of the areas that's happened is families have been forced, those who lived on the same roof have been forced to spend more time with each other. And they've discovered something. They really like each other. And it's been good to just fellowship together and to talk together. And so they found some things that have been an encouragement. So we've also found more time. I haven't painted in, I think it's been 2 years since I painted. I've been painting pictures just one right after the other. Why? Because I've got the time to do it. I can't visit the nursing homes, can't visit the hospitals. So I go into my studio at church and just start painting. And I've been able to take the paintings and use them to get a message out to people who need to hear. So we have found some things. There are also some things that we are losing as a nation. One of the things we're losing as a nation is our history. Our history is being destroyed before our very eyes. You think, well, some of those statues should come down. They need to come down. And so we look at it and we think, well, that's right. Those things shouldn't be there. And all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute. They want to now destroy the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument and Thomas Jefferson. Wait a minute. That's our history. Sure, there were some wrong things there, but there were a lot of right things that happened. And why should we lose our history? Let me tell you why we're losing our history. Marxists are in charge of much of this. If you want to know what happened in China, they destroyed all their monuments, they destroyed their history, and Mao took over. You want to know what happened in Venezuela? They destroyed their monuments, they renamed their cities and their streets, and Venezuela fell to Marxists. You say, well, it could never happen in America. I'm telling you, folks, we're losing our history, and if we lose our history, we'll lose our Constitution. If we lose our history, we'll lose our Bill of Rights. If we lose our history, we will lose the memory of great men and women who God used amazingly to build this nation. Were they perfect? I don't know any perfect people but Jesus, do you? I've never met a perfect one other than Jesus. But that doesn't mean that God didn't use them to build the greatest nation on the face of the earth. A nation where people have longed to come to. And now we have people who are set to destroy it. We are losing it unless God works through the church. And the church, you wonder why the devil tried to close the churches? It's because he has this in mind. He knows if he can close the churches, then he can defeat the nation. But if he can't defeat the church, he can't defeat the nation. The problem is that so many of the churches have lost the ability to pray. If God's people who are called by his name will humble, doesn't say if the world will do it, it says if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We're going to lose America if we do not get on our knees before God. We either lose the ability to pray or we lose the nation. I say God teaches to pray. The disciples came to Jesus after watching him pray and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And I'm saying, Lord, teach the church to pray. We need to hear it. There are some things that we're losing. We're losing freedoms. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the government saying, Go to your houses, shut the door, and stay in your houses. And people obeying in America? Wouldn't have happened. So what did they do? Fear. They built this whole body of fear. I have never seen America so afraid. Have you? I've never seen America afraid. We were not afraid of the Nazis. We were not afraid of Japan. We went to war when it was necessary. But all of a sudden, this little unseen virus has terrified people, terrified us, until we willingly obey the commands to go and huddle in our private spaces. Well, I don't want the coronavirus. Do you? I don't want to get it. It's real. But I'll tell you, it's time for the church to get on its knees before God. Because when a plague comes, when God sends a judgment on a nation, and do any of you question that this is judgment? Stop and think about it. Think about the judgment. You know, the most amazing thing about this is the safest people have been the babies, the children. The people that have been the most judged by it are the ones who passed Roe versus Wade. And they've been dying by the thousands. I believe judgment's on America. And I believe judgment has come on America because of our sin. What do we do when judgment comes? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. This is different than the way I normally preach. You understand that, don't you? It's necessary, though, that we hear it. There are things that we have lost, but there are things that we must not lose. And there are things that are under attack. We must not lose our faith. We must hold on to our faith. The word says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. The Apostle Paul is saying, there was a fight to make me lose my faith. There was when Job was attacked and he lost everything that he had, what was it that was really under attack? It was his faith. The enemy said, if I can destroy everything that Job has, if I can destroy his flocks, if I can destroy his children, if I can destroy it all, I will destroy his faith. In fact, his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard in your life? Curse God and die. If you're going to die, don't curse God. Doesn't make sense, does it? No. His wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, woman, you're talking like one of the foolish ones. God has blessed us. Now that he's allowed this to happen, will we turn our back on him? No. In all of these things, Job did not sin with his lips, the word says. And so, we understand that Satan attacks us to try and hit our faith. If he can hit our faith, and he can destroy our faith, shake our faith, then he has won the battle. So we need to hold fast to our faith. It's important. We need to keep our trust in the promises of God. Lord, you promised it. Did you ever wave a promise before God? God, you promised it, and I claim it. I believe it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you promised this, and I believe it. You can wave the promises of God before God and say, Lord, you promised it, and God will not fail. God always honors his word. God has never failed his word. Not one dotting of an I or crossing of a T will pass away until all things are fulfilled. God always keeps the promises of his word. And if the word says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. So keep the promises of God alive in your heart. When I was a little boy, 2 years of age, my mother began to teach me the word of God. She taught me, first of all, Psalm 23. I was 2 years old. When I was 2.5 years old, she taught me the Christmas story, and I could recite it, can recite it yet to this day. And then she began to teach me other psalms, and she began to teach me the word, John 3:16, and just began to pour the word of God into me. And as she poured that word into me, it was becoming a very part of my life until this very day. That word that my mother sowed in my heart is still there. It's still there. It's powerful. And when I go through hard times, I'm reminded of the word of God, and I hold the promises before God and say, Lord, you said it. You said it. I believe it. Remember that you need to keep that trust in the promises of God. You need to keep the fellowship of the believers. Don't lose the fellowship of the believers. Somebody said, I think you said about, we don't always like to grip phone calls, but give people a call. Give people a call. Why? Because when we can't meet together, we need to keep the fellowship together. Sharing the fellowship. That's one of the things I love about Crosswinds Church, is the fellowship of believers in this church. And that you love one another, and you're a family. And that's what has always given me the knowledge that this church is going to be blessed and God's going to use this church. And one of these days, if Jesus tarries, this church is going to be full of people because you love one another. And people are looking for love. They're looking for somebody that will care for them. And I believe that that's important, that we do not lose that. We do not lose our families through this. Encourage your children to follow Jesus. Encourage your children to stand on the promises. Teach your children the word of God. Teach your grandchildren the word of God. Get it into them. Don't lose your families. And one of you said this, don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. You know, it's hard not to lose your joy when you're losing things, you know? Just probably 6 months ago or so, a dear friend of mine was outside. He was cutting a tree limb. He was up on this ladder cutting the limb. It slapped back, hit him in the face, threw him 20 foot to the ground. And he lost so much right at that time. He lost the use of his legs. He lost his ability to stand. He's just struggling to stand now. And the other day, I talked to him yesterday. I think it was on the phone. And he says, you know, I need to find something to do. And I thought, yes, Lord. You know, that's the first step in really being, turning this sorrow into something good. How many of you know who Fanny Crosby is? Okay. She wrote 8,000 songs. She was blind almost from birth. Just as a child, she was blinded. It would look like, it would look like a terrible tragedy. But how many of you have sung Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine? And Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And Near the Cross. And on and on and on. Hymns that we grew up with that became a part of our life. We would never have known those had Fanny Crosby not lost what she did. And God gave her a heart to seek him. A heart to desire him. A heart to search for him. And then all of a sudden, out of a heart that had lost its sight came the songs of worship and praise. Thou art exalted. Oh, what an amazing hymn. How many of you have been blessed through the songs of Fanny Crosby and through the songs of others who've lost greatly in their life? There's always something to be gained from every loss. If you are going through loss today, say, Lord, what can I gain from this loss? What can I have from this loss? Almost 30 years ago, my wife passed away with cancer. It was a terrible battle. She fought that battle. And the Lord took her. Just before she died, she said, I have something I want to say to you. We knew each other so well, we practically read each other's minds. Literally, we were that close. I said, you don't have to say it. She said, yes, I do. And she started to cry. I said, you don't have to say it. I knew what she was going to say. She said, yes, I do. She said, I don't mind going to heaven, I just hate to leave you. But she said, I've asked God to bless your ministry. And then she started to cry harder. I said, you don't have to say it. She said, I want you to marry again. Don't stay single. What a gift. What an absolute gift she gave me. 5 years later, Becky and I were married. What a wonderful gift. A year and a half later, Ethan was born. What an amazing gift. You know, God takes away, yes, but God gives. And God restores. And what the devil has robbed from you, God will restore double fold. What about poor Job? He lost it all, yes. Did he ever lose the pain of the loss of his children? I don't think so. I think he wept many times when he thought about those family. But then he would be comforted as his children came and gathered around him, because he ended up with 7 more children. And he saw them, and he saw their children and their children's children. You see, God has a way of blessing us. And so, yes, this is a time of loss, but it's also a time of gain. It's a time when we have to let go. But do you realize? Here's something you might try this week. Look around your house and see the things that are special to you. I have a clock sitting on my dresser in the bedroom that was my grandmother and grandfather's clock. It's one of those tall kitchen clocks that sits up there. It's really, really a nice one. And I looked at it the other day and I thought, I'm going to leave you behind. And I have some porcelain horses that were given to me in my first church 60 years ago. And I say, I'm going to leave you behind too. And I look at my painting on the wall and I say, I'm going to leave you behind too. And I look at all the things that I have and I say, I'm going to leave you all behind. I want you to know I'm already letting go of them. Why? Because the trumpet's going to sound one of these days. And when the trumpet sounds, I don't want anything to hold me back. I want to be totally free. When the trump of God sounds, I don't want to say, oh, but God, I want to take this with me. You heard about the guy that kept begging to take one thing into heaven. It's not a true story, but. And Peter says, you can't. He said, oh, please, please, just let me take this one bag into heaven. He says, all right, you can take the one bag into heaven. So you get into heaven and he opens his bag full of gold. And they said, you brought pavement with you? The streets of heaven are paved with gold. You see, the things in this earth mean nothing there. What means something there is that you're there and that I'm there and that our children are there and our loved ones are there. That's what's going to mean in heaven, because all of this stuff is nothing. Loss, yeah. The children of Israel lost the leeks and the garlics of Egypt, but they gained a land of milk and honey. By leaving Egypt, they gained the promised land. By leaving this world, we're going to gain heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, will you open to us, Father, the reality of heaven? Help us to see, Lord God, that we hold everything loosely here, because nothing is really of more value than the souls of our children. Nothing is of more value than that we see Jesus. Lord, help us to realize that we need to keep the promises of God. We dare not lose our faith. We dare not lose our joy. We need to hold to it. Hold to our peace, because Jesus, you are our joy. You are our peace. You are our everything. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.